Hello, saints. Good to be back with you again. Let's go to the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your word that keeps us standing strong in you. And I thank you, Father, that we don't have to worry about anything as long as our mind is renewed by the word of God that tells us that we have to, that we can be in you and have no anxiety, no fear of what's coming ahead. And Father, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, anoint us today, Lord, to give out this message of great hope and faith to believe you, Lord. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Well, I want to talk about learning to be bold in Christ. You know, we've got some shakings that are here. I believe they're almost here, if not here already. Hebrews 12 and 25 says this, "See that ye refuse not him that speaks. For if they escaped not when they refused him that warned them on earth, much more shall not we escape who turn away from him that warns from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more will I make to tremble not the earth only, but also the heaven." And this world, this word, yet once more, signifies the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that have been made, that those things which are not shaken may remain. Wherefore, receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us have grace, whereby we may offer service well-pleasing to God with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. And real soon, you're going to see some things you never thought you'd see in this world. But you know, the Lord doesn't want us to be troubled. It's part of his plan, and he is a sovereign God. Ephesians 1 and 11 says, who works all things after the counsel of his will. And the word tells us also in John chapter 3, verse 27, that a man can receive nothing except it have been given him from heaven. And then Daniel 4 and 35, he does according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? Folks, he reigns in the heavens and on earth, and we can trust him. These shakings are coming in order to bring a whole bunch of folks into the kingdom. But we don't want to be anxious or fearful concerning these things. We all want to be at peace, and we want to be used of God when these things happen. And we're totally useless to God if there's anxiety and fear in our life. You can't be used of the Holy Spirit when you're in that state and the devil knows it. But those who walk by faith, those who draw close to the Lord, those who depend on him for their faith and grace, they ain't got nothing to worry about. God's going to use these shakings to weed the church out. And he's going to bring out a whole lot of people from the apostate church who have a gift from God to walk with him. Jesus sent the disciples and the 70 out on a kind of the OJT or on the job training, didn't he? Luke chapter 10. And this is a kind of a foreshadowing of what's going to happen in our day in the beginning of the tribulation period. For we see in Ecclesiastes 1 and 9, you know it well, that which hath been is that which shall be, and that which hath been done is that which shall be done. And there ain't no new thing under the sun. Folks, we're coming into a great time of grace when the Lord is going to show up. He's going to be manifested in his people. He's going to be Christ in you, the hope of glory, like it says in Colossians 1:27. Because his first fruits are going to be able to do the same things that Jesus did in raising up disciples and even sending forth two by two. And all this is going to be repeated. Folks, we're going to see great and wondrous things about to happen. Luke chapter 10 and verse 17, and the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject unto us by thy name, in thy name. Christianity, even the majority of God's elect, doesn't yet know that demons are subject to us, but the elect was going to know it soon. They're going to come and be led as disciples, and then they'll shake the world. Mark chapter 16 and verse 17 says, "And these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons." So we have been given authority over demonic powers. And folks, it's a great thing to see people set free. But can we defend ourselves against these demons? Greater attacks and warfare are about to go forth against the saints. But God's people, those who walk in faith by his word, is not going to have anything to worry about. And it's real hard for fear and anxiety to come in once you are experienced in walking in his word. Because you see, he wants to prepare us for things to come. And the people who aren't prepared will be shocked and they're going to be fearful. However, when they run to the Lord for refuge, God's going to teach them how to walk in peace and rest. Jesus explained to his disciples about the spirits being subject to them in Luke chapter 10 and verse 18. And he said unto them, "I beheld Satan fallen as lightning from heaven." Verse 19, "Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." Then the disciples, they rejoiced that the demons were subject to. Listen, serpents and scorpions, we talked about this last week, are two kinds of spirits over which the disciples were exercising authority. And when you understand this, it has a lot of bearing on how to deal with that anxiety and fear. Because Jesus said in Luke 10 and 19, "I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions." That means you can stomp on them and treat them with all kinds of insult and contempt. In other words, it means to exercise dominion over them, put them under your authority. Jesus made war against the demon powers, and he taught his disciples how to make war against those demon powers. Luke 11 and 20, "But if I, by the finger of God, cast out demons, then is the kingdom of God come upon you." Satan don't cast out Satan. It's only the kingdom of God that gives deliverance from Satan and his demons, because Jesus is stronger than a strong man, right? Let's go to Luke 11:21 now. "When the strong man, fully armed, guards his own court, his goods are at peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he takes from him his whole armor, wherein he trusted, and divides his spoils." Jesus conquered the devil, and he gave us authority over him too. And then he passed on this authority over all the power of the enemy to all his disciples. And just as he plundered the devil's kingdom and divided the spoils, we're plundering the devil's kingdom when we preach the gospel to somebody. And if they believe it, then they're delivered out of the devil's kingdom and into the kingdom of God. And the same things happen when we heal the sick, cast out demons, and on and on. That's the job we all have to do, in plundering the devil's kingdom. Verse 23 in Luke 11, "He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathers not with me scatters. He ordained and raised us up." He wants every one of us to have a part in this. It don't make any difference where you are or what you're doing, because we work for the kingdom of God and represent the King. We're ambassadors of Christ. We speak for him in this world, and we go forth to do everything that he did in this world. Jesus said Mark chapter 16 and verse 17, "And these signs shall accompany them that believe." Folks, if you're a believer, you got a right to do every one of these things. It says, in my name shall they cast out demons, they shall speak with new tongues, and they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. You got a right to the gifts of the Spirit, and you have a right to be doing the work of God. When Jesus said in Luke 11:23, he that gathers not with me scatters, that word scatters in the Greek is the word scarpizo, and that means to penetrate and put to flight. And that's exactly what a scorpion does. It's a small creature, but it's pretty scary. People knows what that pain and that trouble and that poison, what can come from it. And as the Israelites were going into their promised land, God spoke to them several times that he would send a hornet ahead to drive their enemies out from before. Now, a hornet is another real small creature with a sting in its tail, just like the scorpion. The poison is in its tail, not in its head. And when it goes forth, it puts a lot of people to flight too. Because God is using the hornet as an Old Testament type and shadow in the same way as he's using the scorpion here. That hornet and that scorpion both penetrate and put to flight. And that's why we're told to take up the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fire darts of the evil one in Ephesians 6:16. We need that shield of faith. Whenever we're attacked by these scorpion spirits, because their job is to cause God's people to give up the battle and run from the face of the enemy. But our knowledge of the Word of God gives us power over these spirits, and understanding who we are in Christ and knowing that he has delivered us gives us power over them. But anxiety, fear, guilt, rejection, shame, and unbelief, all of those cause God's people to run from the real battle. And all these things cause them to not take up their sword of the Spirit and the shield of faith and the helmet of salvation and on to conquer the enemy. Folks, if we're not with Jesus, we're against him. And if we're not gathering with him, then we're scattered. And if you're not plundering Satan's kingdom, he's plundering you. Folks, you can't have it both ways, just one way or the other. The Lord has given us the victory in Jesus Christ because of his sacrifice. We have been given the victory. He said in John 16:33, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. He conquered the devil, that evil one. He conquered sin. He conquered the curse. He conquered sickness. He conquered it all at the cross. And he gave us authority and power over the devil. And it's a normal and natural for the wicked to run. They become anxious and fearful and moved by what they see and hear rather than what the Word of God says. Proverbs 28:1 says, the wicked flee when no man pursues, but the righteous are bold as a lion. And we need to hold fast to that bold faith that the Lord has given to us so that we're not given in to anxiety and fear. But there are things such as unforgiveness, folks, that'll totally take away your defense against these spirits. Unforgiveness delivers a whole lot of God's people over to the power of demons. Jesus said in Matthew 18:34, and his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due. So shall also my heavenly Father do unto you if ye forgive not every one his brother from your hearts. If we don't forgive our brother from the heart, the Father's going to turn us over to the tormentors until we pay our own debt. So many of God's people don't realize they're laboring under these demons. They can't get the victory. They can't overcome. They have no confidence. They don't have a gift of faith, and they don't understand that it's because they have unforgiveness and bitterness and judgment against their brothers. Jesus is not a liar. He said the Father will turn you over to the tormentors when you don't forgive. And if we want to have boldness before God, we need a clean conscience. 1 John 3:21 says, "Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, we have boldness toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him." Folks, we don't have to worry about a thing. We just ask and God answers. Because we keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing in his sight. In other words, we have a clean conscience. That should put the fear of the Lord in you. Not the fear of anybody else, for the Lord is the only one that we have to please, right? 1 John 3:21 said, "Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, we have boldness toward God." If you want to be ready for the things that are coming, you need to get the full of the whole boldness of the Lord. Because you need to realize you're dealing with the enemy. That's the devil. He's going to send his big guns of fear and anxiety against us. And they're the ones that are going to be leading the pack. And what happens is that people see or hear something, and then all of a sudden, there's old the devil. He's there to penetrate into flight. He attacks your mind through fear and anxiety. But those thoughts aren't your thoughts. They're not coming from your mind. It's the devil trying to bring you down so that you'll be totally useless in this battle. We have to realize that giving in to fear or anxiety is actually a sin. A lot of times people think fear or anxiety is just a weakness in it. But the Bible says in Hebrews 3:12, "Take heed, brethren, lest haply there shall be in any one of you an evil heart of unbelief in falling away from the living God." And we're also told in Revelation 21:8, "But for the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and fornicators and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars." So thrown in with all the other sinners, one called fearful. Okay, you see that? "Their part shall be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Folks, fear is sin. But most people don't treat it that way. Instead, they pacify it. They give in to it. We know the Lord hadn't given us a spirit of fear, because the Bible says that fear is of the devil. It comes in order to manipulate us. And instead of acting in accord with what the Word of God says, fear comes in order to move us to react. The devil wants to put us to flight before him so that he can continue to plunder us. Folks, we need to be bold in our faith. And remember that we've been given authority over the devil in everything. Luke 10:19 again. "Nothing shall in any wise hurt you." Does that word "nothing" actually mean what it said? Of course it does. "But nothing shall in any wise hurt us" is only effectual when you mix it with faith. Hebrews 4:2 says, "But the word of hearing did not profit them." That's speaking of God's people. "Because it was not united by faith with them that heard." The word was of no use because it wasn't mixed with faith in those that heard. We have been given dominion over anxiety and fear. And we know from God's word that these things are coming. Glory to God. Hebrews 12:25 says, "See that you refuse not him that speaks. For if they escaped not when they refused him that warned them on earth, much more shall not we escape who turn away from him that warns from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more will I make to tremble not the earth only, but also the heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifies the removing of those things that are shaken, as of the things that have been made, that those things which are not shaken may remain." God's going to bring down this world through these great shakings, folks. Events are going to occur that we've never seen on this earth before. And for the wicked, what will be happening is fear of the devil, fear of the curse, fear of the things coming upon the world. And even though the hearts of men are literally going to fail them for fear, these events are going to put the fear of God in his elect. And I ain't saying they're going to have it all of a sudden at the beginning, but they're all going to be highly motivated, right? They're all going to understand what it is to serve the Lord. God's elect are going to have to, are going to have his patience and his peace in the middle of these shakings. And to have that, we need to be honest and call fear and anxiety what God in the Bible calls it, which is sin. You know, God has given us deliverance from them. And we can count on it because God has delivered us from all sin. Hebrews 10 and 14 says, "For by one offering, he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified." And then John 1:29, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." Jesus took our sin away, and because of what he did, we don't have to put up with fear or anxiety. We need to be prepared for the things that are coming in order for us to partake of the peace of God in the midst of this great destruction that are coming real fast on this world. Now, it's a trick of the devil to show up with fear and anxiety whenever something happens, and we need to cast it down. We're children of the King. We're here for a purpose in him, not for the purpose of the world. And unlike the world, we don't have to take the penalty. Our Lord Jesus became cursed for us. He already bore the penalty. What is there for us to fear? Nothing. Because Philippians 4 and 6 says, "In nothing be anxious." Some versions say careful, but the Greek word there is merimnao, and it means anxious. "But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God." And since we have such authority and promises, what is anxiety? Folks, it's unbelief. When we give in to the temptation of anxiety, it means we don't believe that the word's true. Because unbelief is sin. We need to see it as sin, and we need to treat it just like it is sin. Revelation 21:8 says, "But for the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and fornicators and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part shall be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." You wouldn't think of doing those other things, but do you consider fear and anxiety to be unbelief and therefore sin before the King, glory to God? Someone with fear and anxiety is not justified because they're not letting God be found true, but every man a liar, as it is written, "That thou might be justified in thy words and might prevail when thou come into judgment," Romans 3 and 4. And here it is again in Philippians 4 and 6, "In nothing be anxious." And God says this because he's absolutely sovereign. And we don't have nothing to worry about. He's got it all under control. Now, let's take a closer look at Philippians in 4 and 1. "Wherefore, my brethren, beloved, and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my beloved, and I exhort Euodia, and I exhort Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord." Yeah, the Lord wants us to stand steadfast in him, unmoved by what we see or hear. Like I said before, we're about to see and we're about to hear about horrendous things going on in the world. And some are already happening even as we speak. But keep in mind that we're the ones he wants to teach. He wants us to learn that all of these promises are true for us. And he's got the good plan. And he don't want to destroy us. Philippians 4 and 2 said, "I exhort Euodia and I exhort Syntyche to be of the same mind." Folks, there's a neat little revelation here that the Lord hid in the Word just for us. Euodia means to be successful in reaching a goal or to succeed in reaching. And Syntyche means to meet with an accident. They're opposite names with opposite meanings. And sometimes you just walk in the success of the Lord, but sometimes you meet with what seems to be an accident, and he's telling us to be of the same mind, no matter which one you're going through. Now, he said in Philippians 4 and 11, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therein to be content." We should be content because everything comes from the hand of God, John 3:27. And he wants you to trust in him. Philippians 4:2 says that I exhort Euodia and I exhort Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yea, I beseech thee also, true yoke fellow, help these women, for they labored with me in the gospel with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Both success and what we call accidents do labor with us in the gospel. They labor with us in our own life, helping us to bear fruit. And we learn that God wants us to be stable and not moved by our emotions, by every wind of doctrine or by everything that happens in the world. Folks, he wants us to be stable, not blown around. God wants us to be steadfast in standing on his word, like standing on a rock, unmoved by success or failure. Philippians 4:3 says, help these women, for they labored with me in the gospel and with Clement also. Clement means merciful. With those who will have mercy towards others and be forgiving, God will show himself the same way. We can do much harm to ourselves in the way that we relate to others. Matthew 18:34, and his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due. So shall also my heavenly Father do unto you if you forgive not every one of his brother from your hearts. We need to be merciful. Otherwise, he's going to turn us over to the tormentors. Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your forbearance be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Now, folks, he's even so much more at hand today. Philippians 4:6 again, in nothing be anxious, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. You don't need to worry about a thing. Just put all your requests before God. Remember what he said in Mark 11:24? All things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe that you received them and you shall have them. Are you going to be anxious? Are you going to believe? Folks, anxiety is sin against God because it's totally against faith, and we should cast down anxiety immediately. Revelation 21:8, but for the fearful and unbelieving, their part shall be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone. You can put up that shield of faith, quench that fire dart. You don't have to let the scorpizo, the scattering demons, penetrate and put to flight your heart and life. A whole lot of folks out there are not acting on the word. Instead, they're reacting to what the devil's doing. And if you're not ruled by faith, you're going to be ruled by fear. I can tell you that. Luke 11:23, he that is not with me is against me, and he that gathers not with me scatters. So if you want to be moved and ruled by the Lord, then remember that being ruled by fear is sin. And after disaster strikes, anxiety and fear come immediately into people's hearts. And that's the devil seeking to bring them into bondage. Fear or anxiety must be cast down immediately. Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall guard your hearts and your thoughts in Christ Jesus. And what we need is the peace of God in the midst of turmoil. And when the world looks at you, they're going to wonder why that you are at peace. Isaiah 26:3 says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in thee. Glory to God. Keep your mind on what God has taught you. Cast down everything else that the devil fires your way. And God will keep you in perfect peace while other people are falling apart. And those people that are falling apart are going to be going one way, but you'll be going another way. And if you react to the devil by allowing him to herd you in the direction he wants you to go, it proves that you're one of his pack. Romans 6 and 16 says, know ye not that to whom you present yourselves as servants unto obedience, his servants you are, whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. If you follow him, guess what? You're one of his. Listen, folks, there's nothing that comes into your life by accident. These wilderness tribulations and trials through which we're going are from the Lord, and he has absolute control over them. Otherwise, how could he say in Philippians 4 and 6, and nothing be anxious? And 8 and 28 of Romans, all things work together for good. He can say these things because he is in absolute control, and you can trust him. You can rest in his promises. So don't let anxiety or fear affect you in any way. Cast them down. And remember that God said in Isaiah 26 and 3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in thee. Christ Jesus is the truth. He's the word of God. And we want to believe and remember the good report. Philippians 4 and 8 says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honorable, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. It don't make a bit of difference in the world what happens around us. We have to hold fast to the good report. And when the Israelites were moved by fear and anxiety, they cried out to the Lord. Exodus 16:3. Ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly. Folks, that was so stupid. You can only think that away when you're under the dominion of fear and anxiety. The Lord didn't bring us here to fail. He's brought us here to teach us to be sons of God. And we will be sons of God if we'll keep our mind upon him, the word of God, and the good report. God's first people listened to the bad report. And from remember the 10 spies that came back who didn't have any faith in God? They believed that they could not conquer that land or those people, those giants, all of which actually represented their old flesh. Philippians 4 and 8 says, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Refuse to think on things that are going to destroy you or to cause you to be manipulated. Refuse reports that would cause you to be hurted before the demons of the devils so that you would partake of their curse. Philippians 4 and 9, the things which you both learned and received and heard and saw in me, these things do. And Paul said, follow me as I follow the Lord, 1 Corinthians 11 and 1. When you see people who are following the Lord and setting a good example, pay attention to their witness and testimony. And if others don't have that fruit, then don't pay any attention to them. A lot of people are just speaking from their theology and they don't have any kind of an experience whatsoever because they haven't walked with God by faith. They're leading God's people into Babylon. Philippians 4 and 9, the things which ye both learned and received and heard and saw in me, these things do, and the God of peace shall be with you. And that's what we desire, to walk in the peace of God. Isaiah 26 and 3 says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in thee. If we permit the devil to penetrate our defenses, our shield of faith in the word of God, if we let the fiery dart, the stinger, come through our defense, then you're going to be overcome by your emotions. You're going to be doing what the world does, and you're going to fall under the judgment of the world. And that's exactly what the Israelites did in the wilderness when they fell under the judgment of the world and under the curse of Deuteronomy 28. Instead of overcoming and entering into the promised land like Joshua and Caleb did, they died in the wilderness. Numbers 14 told us that. But I am persuaded of better things of you, said Paul in Hebrews 6 and 9. Then 2 Timothy 1 and 12. For I know him whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to guard that which I have committed unto him against that day. In other words, I am persuaded that the Lord is able to keep you and to bring you through these troubling times in boldness and in courage. 1 John 3:21, beloved, if our heart condemn us not, we have boldness toward God. Don't let there be anything in your heart that's going to hinder you because you're being obedient to God. Make sure that nothing in your heart will separate you from that boldness that God gives to those who are obedient. Philippians 4:9 says, the things which you both learned and received and heard and saw in me, these things do, and the God of peace shall be with you. We're heading toward a wilderness trial, folks, and one thing you see in the wilderness trial is that the Lord allows his people to experience light to see what they would do. He suffered the Israelites to be tried so that he would see how they would react. In all these places that the Lord led his people in the wilderness, it was from one trial to the next in order to see light ahead of them. Numbers 14:1, it says, and all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, would that we had died in the hand of Egypt, in the land of Egypt, or would that we had died in this wilderness? Excuse me. And wherefore doth the Lord bring us into this land to fall by the sword? They had a lot of opportunities to be penetrated by fear and anxiety and run in the opposite direction of God. This wilderness trial gave them the chances to cry out in unbelief and to accuse God of things that he had no mind to do. They even accused God of wanting to kill them. And they finally did convince God of that. They convinced him because that was actually what they needed. It was their fault. Numbers 14:28. Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord, surely as you have spoken in mine ears, so will I do to you. Your dead body shall fall in this wilderness. They had faith for death, and he gave it to them. Because in Matthew 9:29, it says, according to your faith be it done unto you. Anxiety and fear are faith too, but they are negative faith. They're faith in the curse and the devil, and that's where your faith is. That's what God will let you have. But if you believe what he says, you'll get the gifts of faith and boldness that he provides. Some of you might not believe there's anything but peace and prosperity to come to God's people. And if so, you're missing history. And you need to read the Bible again because God's people went through fiery trials all the time. Matthew 24:9 says, then shall they deliver you up into tribulation, shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all the nations for my name's sake. And most of you have probably never gone through being hated. But none of us have gone through what we're about to see. The hatred of the whole world is about to come against Christianity. And just like it was with Israel, the Lord is raising up a very big enemy against his small group of elect. Well, why? The Lord is doing all this to show himself strong on behalf of them that have put their faith and trust in him. Jesus told us about the provisions that he was going to make available. You see, even though the Lord is going to take a lot of worldly provisions away from his people in the days to come, he's still going to provide for his people, but their provision will be coming from heaven. Now, let's look at a passage of scripture where Jesus mentioned 6 times the Greek word for anxiety. And that's the same word that's used in this text. Philippians 4:6, in nothing be anxious, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be not made known unto God. His people worried a lot about how to provide the things that they needed in order to be able to live in the wilderness. Matthew 6:19 says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth where moth and rust consume and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth consume, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. How come God's people feel like they need to stock up things for the future? Well, it's because their confidence is not in what God promised. Their confidence is in what they store up. Matthew 6 and 21, for where thy treasure is, there will be thy heart also. That means that your heart will be where your treasure of future provision is stored. Matthew 6 and 22, the lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. Folks, an eye that is single is not an eye that is set upon its own provision. It's not set upon things stored up for the purpose of saving self in the days to come. Verse 23, but if thine eye be evil, the whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light is in thee be darkness, how great is thy darkness? An eye that is dark has got its confidence in the things of the world. And I'm going to prove that to you as we read on. 24, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to one and despise the other. What's Jesus talking about when he says two masters? You cannot serve God and mammon. Mammonus is the common Aramaic word for riches, confidence, or that which is trusted in. And it comes from an Aramaic word, matmon, meaning hidden treasures. The word mammon here in Matthew 6 represents trusting in worldly treasures that are stored up or hidden. In other words, mammon means trusting in the things of the world to provide salvation to us. And when the Israelites came out of Egypt, God permitted them to have something that they trusted in, gold and silver. And it was given into their hands by the Egyptians, who in type represented the world. God wanted them to be tried in this way. He was the one who permitted them to go out of Egypt with gold and silver. However, his plan was to try them to see if they would be faithful. Well, they weren't. They made an idol out of that stored up gold to preserve them through wilderness trials. But God's plan from the beginning was that he would meet their needs out of heaven. And he just had to get that gold out of the way first, and he did. Exodus 32 and 20, and he, now that's speaking of Moses, took the calf which they had made, burned it with fire, ground it to powder, and strode it upon the water and made the children of Israel drink it. Now, people today are doing the same thing. They're storing up for times to come because they too don't believe the word of God. They don't believe in Philippians 4 and 19, and my God shall supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. They're anxious, troubled, and fearful because they trust in mammon. And that's the eye that is evil, not single. And let's see if Jesus confirms this. And look in Matthew 6 and 25. Therefore I say unto you, be not anxious. Now, this is the first of six anxious mentions, and it's the same word, merimneo, found here, Philippians 4 and 6. In nothing be anxious, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. You don't have to worry about these things. We don't have to rely on our own strength or our own preparations to preserve ourselves through the days that are coming. And I know that many people claim to have received word from the Lord about storing up, but I also know we're coming to a time when God wants to prove his power to save us by signs and wonders and miracles, not by the worldly methods of man. God's provisions came out of heaven to God's people when they were in the wilderness. He didn't want them to be anxious, and he didn't want them to be fearful. He wanted them to trust in his provisions. So he ran them out of food and water and everything that they had provided for themselves when they came out of Egypt. Then he provided for them by giving them water out of a rock, Lord of God, manna out of heaven, and quail out of the sky. Folks, we're coming to this same time in history, except this time it's going to be for the church. Once again, God is going to provide for those who believe. Matthew 6 and 25 says, therefore, I say unto you, be not anxious for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than the food, and the body than the raiment? Behold, the birds of the heavens, that they sow not, neither do they reap, neither nor gather into barns, and your heavenly Father feeds them. And if you couldn't provide for yourself when the economy goes down and paid work stops, don't you think God's going to provide for you? He will if you walk by faith. You know, when we read that they sow not, is God teaching that you don't need to work for a living? No, because God's word says in 2 Thessalonians 3:10, if any still will not work, neither let him eat. There's going to be a great exchange in these days, because God's people are going to finally wake up and take the Great Commission seriously. What did Jesus say in Luke chapter 11 and verse 23? He that gathers not with me scatters. The Lord wants us gathered along with him. He raises up disciples to do his work of the Great Commission. And if you're not working for the world, you can work for him. Even the birds and the flowers work for him. But they don't toil in the world. And God still feeds the birds and clothes the flowers, don't it? Matthew 6:26 says, behold, the birds of the heaven, that they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. They're not storing up their treasures, are they? But their food still comes. And your heavenly Father feeds them. Are not ye of much more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, that's the word, anxious, that's what it means, mentioned the second time, can add one cubit unto the measure of his life? Anxiety does nothing but destroy you physically, mentally, and emotionally. It tears down immunity and brings sickness. Anxiety does nothing positive. Faith can overcome anything, but anxiety can do nothing except bring you harm, bring you down. Matthew 6:28. And why are you anxious? That's the third time it's mentioned. Concerning raiment. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God doth so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Lord's going to take care of his through this coming time, don't you know? Some of you are going to lose your jobs that you prize so much, and maybe your high standard of living. But you're going to change your attitude towards the world and the things of the world. You'll have the same attitude as those disciples had in Jesus' day when Christians were plundered and they couldn't do business with the world. They were in a wilderness, yet the Lord provided for them because they put their trust in him. Matthew 6:31, be not therefore anxious, that's the fourth time, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? And why does Jesus keep mentioning anxious? It's because he understood the carnal nature and the trials that were coming for the Jewish Christians in those days. They were going into the tribulation. And Jesus spoke this in the beginning of the first 3.5 years of their tribulation. He knew what they were going to go through and what we're going to go through in the days to come. That's going to be the same thing. Folks, there's a great collapse coming. But God has made this promise that he's going to provide for his people. So don't give in to anxiety and fear, because God is your Jehovah Jireh, and he's going to provide for you in everything. He wants to show you his glory. He wants to show you his power. So don't be fearful. Matthew 6:31. Be not therefore anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. Now the Gentiles were the heathen at that time. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. He already knows what you need. You don't even got to worry about or beg for those things. You don't have to spend hours on your knees either. 33, but seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Be not therefore anxious. That's the fifth mention right there. For the morrow will be anxious. There it is, number six. For itself, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. And all you have to do, folks, is like it says in Philippians 4:6, in nothing be anxious, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. You ain't going to be heard for you much speaking, it says in Matthew 6:7. So don't be fearful or anxious because of what you see or what you hear, even when it may appear that you're coming to the end of your own provision. You need to be at the end of your provision so that you can receive God's provision. He wants to show you a bunch of miracles, folks. Matthew 6:33 says, but seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. God's seeking to build his kingdom in your life and in those around you. And when you seek first his kingdom, he's going to make sure that you have everything that you need. And you're not going to have a love of the world because the love of the world is sin, it says in 1 John 2:15. But there's going to be an overwhelming number of Christians that have a problem with love of the world. They're even taught to love the material prosperity of the world in their prosperity-minded churches instead of seeking for the prosperity of the body of Christ. John, 3 John 1:2 says, beloved, I pray that in all things you may prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prosper. The prosperity-minded have to have the things of the world, folks. Matthew 6:34, be not therefore anxious for the morrow will be anxious for itself. We're not supposed to be anxious about our provision and our needs because God is going to take care of all of that for us. He said, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Remember that command by Jesus. You don't have to be fearful. The Lord is going to take care of it. He said in Luke 12:32, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Glory to God. It's his pleasure to care for us. There ain't no need to be worried or anxious about how to serve God or what to do in this world. Luke 10:38 says, now as they went on their way, he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at the Lord's feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and she came up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister did leave me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. But the Lord answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, for Mary hath chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. The one important thing we need to do is just sit at the Lord's feet and listen to him. And I praise God for his word that delivers all our needs through him. Thank you, Father, for being a God that provides everything that we ever are going to need in the days to come and giving us great and bold faith to believe that all we have to do is believe what the Word of God says. All the promises in there are to take care of us. And all we have to do is to trust you, Father. And I thank you, Lord, that we do. In Jesus' name. All right, folks, I'm out of time. God bless you. We'll see you next time. God willing.